Well, I was 2 years old when John Lennon died. Well, I was 23 when George said goodbye.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with Representative Jason Doctor from District 7 in North Dakota.
I'm Jason Doctor, District 7 representative out of Bismarck.
And we've got Mr. Doctor on the line today because we want to talk about tax incentive funds and some of those other projects that kind of go down that path of the taxpayers giving money to entrepreneurs for startups or business building, that sort of thing. Last we spoke, you were going to do, I think in November, you were going to be having a meeting with some of these tax incentive funds. Maybe it was December, but just kind of an update on how you got into the tax incentive funds and where we're at with that.
Well, we're currently, we passed out several bills through the interim political sub-tax committee that I chaired in the interim, and we're going through several of those bills. We passed out three bills already in the House, and those three bills had to do with incentives that were never really used, and so we just took them off the books. Currently, we're working on one of the major tax incentives. It was the Angel Funds. It had a lot of scrutiny during the interim, and we currently, it's sitting in committee. We had testimony, and we're putting amendments on it. Hopefully, that bill we can have, we can kick that out here in the near future. We also have some other bills, telecommunications, sales tax exemption. Tomorrow will be a big hearing on do we extend the sales tax exemption for wind. And that's going to be a hot topic. And so that's what's going on. And the Senate has some of their own incentives. But with the budget constraints, every bill that we have that has a fiscal note on it, it goes against the total number that we need to balance the budget. So for instance, like telecommunications is a $3.5 million fiscal note. If we pass that out, then that goes against our total number for us to balance the budget. If we don't pass that bill, then that's $3.5 million more dollars that we have that we don't have to cut in other areas. So the economic incentive bills are very important this session because of the fiscal impact.
And then let's talk about the tax incentive funds, the economic incentives that are currently going on. Last time we spoke, we took the conversation to where many people are flat out incorporating those incentives into their business models, into their business plans. I'll give you two examples. Emerging Prairies in Fargo, North Dakota, they've had to get subsidized two consecutive years in a row by the Economic Development Corporation and the city of Fargo in order to make that business work. And you'd mentioned wind. Wind is another great example where it's no secret that without subsidies in wind, you would not have the 270 wind turbines in the state of North Dakota. Is that still kind of the direction that, I guess, the startups and entrepreneurs are going, as you see where people are testifying or talking about the different incentive economic funds out there? Are people still using them in their business plans that you know of?
That's a great question, and I do believe that they still are using them as a tool in order to justify needing the incentive, and that without the incentive, the only way to develop their businesses through these incentives that the government provides. But we're asking the tough questions, and I'll give you an example. I'll go back to the telecommunications. Telecommunications has been around since 2009, and the purpose of the incentive was for the infrastructure for the rural areas to bring telecommunications. Well, since that time, it's been a very successful program. So, as I mentioned before, the budget constraints, one of the questions was asked, if you would not have that this current incentive going forward, would your entity still be profitable? And the person that was testifying said, yes, we would. So right there gives you a good example, just not the telecommunications, but all these incentives, that they would still be doing the investments. They would still be providing and starting up new businesses, but they've also figured out, well, if the government gives us these incentives, might as well take advantage of them, put them in our business plan, and use them to our advantage. And what we're seeing now as lawmakers is that we got to be very prudent when we give out these incentives. Are we getting a rate of return? Any of these incentives we give away, it's on the back of the taxpayers. And my biggest question is, would you still go ahead with your business plan if you did not have these incentives? And I believe in most cases, the answer would be yes.
So if you're a taxpayer, what kind of accessibility do you get to a lot of these incentive plans? A lot of people just assume the rich get richer, that the people with the deep pockets get access to this. They get kind of to the front of the line to meet with the politicians or meet with the different people that are in charge of these tax incentive funds, you know. And honestly, I was talking with a waitress the other day, and she flat out said, why does she have to give $4 to the rich people around town so they can go start up a new business? And have you ever heard anything along those lines to where the people are starting to question some of these tax incentive funds because they seem to be going to a lot of the same people?
Oh, yes. We're getting a lot of emails supporting. There's a Renaissance Zone bill that we heard, and what they want to do, and Representative Rick Becker put that bill in, and what that bill would do would get rid of the Renaissance Zone on the state level, and it'd be all a local issue. And so what that would mean is that you could still get property tax abatement, but you would no longer get the income tax credits if you did a project in the Renaissance Zone. And the premise behind that is make it local. And because a lot of people are upset, and if the local people are upset, they can come voice their opinion. If not, they can vote out their city commission, county commissioners. And so that bill has been we had a hearing. We have not taken action on that yet. But yes, we're getting a lot of emails saying, why are we footing the bill for these business people that would probably do these projects anyway? It's time that, especially with the budget crunch, that we get rid of these incentives and make these businesses do these projects without taking any, as one of our reps in our committee says, corporate welfare. And so it is a big problem, and that's one of the reasons why these are coming to the forefront, just not in the state of North Dakota, but nationally with budget constraints. People are really taking a hard look, and the citizens are voicing their opinion that why are the rich are getting richer. They're using our taxpayer dollars, and they don't think it's right.
So you mentioned this has happened nationally. So I've heard of these things in, you know, South Dakota, Minnesota, Montana, Wyoming, North Dakota, not only on a state level, but local level. So as far as what you're seeing at the North Dakota State Capitol is that there's a movement to try to eliminate these tax incentive funds at a state level. Do you know if there's any double dipping going on, that somebody gets a state tax incentive fund and then they go and get it from the local side too?
Yep, that's another good question. That is currently happening, especially in the Renaissance Zone, because what's happening in the Renaissance Zone is you can get a five-year property tax exemption, and you also get a five-year income tax credit exemption. So in my eyes, you're getting a local benefit and the state benefit. And like I mentioned, we have a bill now that we just had a hearing that states, okay, you can do the local one if you want, because that's a local issue, but that the state incentive would go away for Renaissance Zone. I don't know of a lot of other incentives, but the Renaissance Zone, is out of all of them, that's definitely one that you get a state and a local benefit.
To listen to the full-length interview with Representative Jason Doctor, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit cafecapitalism.com. That's cafecapitalism.com. My name is Jason Speeson. This is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
Well, Gandhi says an eye for an eye makes the whole world blind. And I was 2 years old when John Lennon died.
The music on today's program is written and performed by singer-songwriter Tom Peckskamp. To find out more about Tom Peckskamp and his music, visit thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. That's thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. Once again, that's singer-songwriter Tom Peckskamp.
Well, I was born near a harvest moon. I wasn't too late and I wasn't too soon. And I was born on the first day of my life.
If you have any Coffee and Capitalism questions for myself or any of our experts, feel free to email me at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. Facebook.com/thecrudelife. Like us on Facebook today. This is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
You know we do what we do so we can survive. And I was 2 years old when John Lennon died.
The American petroleum industry and the surrounding businesses will be hosting the 20th annual API Gumbo Cook-Off. The event will be held Saturday, February 18th at the Motel 6 in Dickinson, North Dakota. 18 teams will compete for the ultimate trophy and bragging rights. The event starts at 6:30 p.m. with the public taste testing. There's door prizes and a live band. Cost is $10 per person. All proceeds go to local charities and college scholarships. Come taste the dark secrets of the bayou at the Motel 6 in Dickinson, North Dakota with the 20th annual API Gumbo Cook-Off.
Let me take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Eric Hatch has defined himself as one of the top realtors in the nation, and those skills used in real estate can and will translate into your business world. Now, with Hatch Coaching, you'll experience extreme transparency. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. By choosing Hatch Coaching, you're going to gain the knowledge and tools that will take your business to that next level. Eric Hatch and Hatch Realty have created business tactics and strategies that are getting attention from around the nation. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Make sure you call and reserve Eric Hatch today. 701-318-4946. That's 701-318-4946. Or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch. It's time for your company to create wealth and abundance too. Reserve Eric Hatch today.